What I've noticed is normally children are still the most close, I think, to their divine self. They have a kind of unconscious memory of how it was before they were born. Education today is mostly a learning facts, and mostly learning facts of the history. And it might be interesting, but it's not what life is about and what education should be about. Education should be guidance and training and help to develop as a young soul, as a child, to your full potential. And so education has to go about preparation for life in a physical way, in an emotional way, of mental and even spiritual way.
Welcome everyone to Planetary Makeover, where our focus is creating a world that works for everyone. In this episode, we're broadcasting a video version of an earlier podcast that we worked on back in 2017. It's called Share on the Air Radio, or SOAR for short. It features our co-host, Diana Gold-Holland, interviewing a Dutch specialist in therapies for highly sensitive children. As each generation born seems attuned to the times and the technologies of that era, this show even touches upon elements of mankind's own evolution and how that benefits and drives forward humanity and the planet itself, both of whom could benefit from a bit of a boost at this time. And it's a source of encouragement for all of us who could use a little good news right about now. So let's all put on our thinking caps and tune in now to learn for ourselves about the latest generation that's incarnated on Earth and how we can best appreciate these little representations of what's to come and a glimpse into our own futures.
Welcome indeed. Hello, everyone. This is Diana Gold-Holland broadcasting from today in Vancouver, a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous spring day. You may be listening at some other time of week or year, but we have a really classically beautiful day today, and I'm glad to share that with you. I'm also glad to share with you our guest today, Annemiek from Holland.
Hello.
And hi, Annemiek.
And let Hello, Diane.
Yes, let me introduce our listeners to your topic, how the energies of Maitreya are influencing the awareness of children, and how more and more children today have an intuitive grasp of how we should treat one another in the age of Aquarius that is now dawning. Before we get down to our topic, though, let me once again present for new listeners the basic premises of our show. They are very, very simple. Premise number one is that we, humanity, are not alone. Never have been, never will be, but now we are coming to realize that we have help of an extraordinary nature at this very, very crucial time for the planet. That help comes in the form of divine teachers, great perfected masters of wisdom, who are now emerging onto the world scene, into our very midst, to help us, to guide us, to counsel us in the perilous choices we have to make now for our planet, for our peoples, for the environment, for our basic survival. So as the ante rises, so too do these masters come forward, and they come forward at our request, at our call, at our summons for help, which goes out at the age base, at the beginning basically of every age, just as it has gone out now at the end of the great world wars for help at the beginning of our Aquarian age. At the head of these perfected teachers is the Lord Maitreya, M-A-I-T-R-E-Y-A, He is the master of all the masters. He is also known under various guises to various great religions of the world. He is, for example, the Christ for the Christians, the Messiah for the Jews, the Imam Mahdi for the Muslims, Vyasa, Krishna, etc., etc. All down the ages, a great teacher comes to point the way for the next age, just as Jesus did at the beginning of the age of Pisces, approximately 2,000 years ago. So we have reached another turn of the spiral. Maitreya has been with us and emerging with 14 other masters now on the world scene, working deliberately behind the scenes just now, not revealing their actual names and stature, so that we, humanity, get to espouse their teachings, their thoughts, their guidance for the new age, which for people like me and my co-host Cielito Pascual, who have been following this story for literally decades, we see the advent of the these energies, the effect that they are having. And it is indeed a very bright time at this crossroads, no matter how bleak the mainstream media may make things appear. We get most of our basic information from Share International magazine that covers indeed all of the good progress and events concerning the emergence of Maitreya and the other masters onto the world scene. So I invite new listeners to definitely check out the magazine. The online version you will find at www.share, S-H-A-R-E, as in sharing, share-international.org. There is a treasure load of information on that website, which I invite you to delve into, and even our older listeners, or not older, but more long-term listeners, every time that we go back into the information there that has been given out by our newly passed chief editor, Benjamin Cram, is of great, great value. So the energies of Maitreya have been flowing out into the world, and they have been reaching, of course, children as well as everybody else. Our guest today is Annemiek van Nanonten from Holland. She is a natural healing therapist based in the Netherlands who specializes in therapies for highly sensitive children, and adults too, of course. She is a voluntary coordinator with the UNICEF youth programs in the Eindhoven region of Holland, and she has been a student of Maitreya's teachings and an observer of the progress of the emergence since 2010. So I am very, very happy to welcome to our show today Annemiek, and welcome Annemiek.
Hello, Diane. Thank you.
Good to have you. Listen, let's start by having you explain what we mean by highly sensitive children. Everybody thinks they're sensitive, but there must certainly be something to this.
I think highly sensitive children are children which are more sensitive than the immediate. They are very open. They are very receptive for noises, for light, but also for the feelings of people around them. And although that's a very good thing, because they can be very compassionate because of that, it may also be a problem, because it may be very tense to get a lot of influence inside. And that's why I specialized in treating them with energies to make them more strong and to make their energy stronger so they can protect themselves against the influences of the environment. But most of the time, as I have noticed, they are more aware than the average people. They really know what love is about. They accept people as they are. They want to help. They want to do it very well, and they are not easily satisfied by their how do you say it, by their effort. They always want to do better and more, and that's not easy for them either.
Yes, well, I guess there would be a certain basic perfectionism to that, right? Or a very high degree of aspiration.
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Do you think there is a special? Are there more such children now than there may have been, or do we just notice them more now? Or does this have something to do with coming in on the wave of Maitreya's energy? Since, of course, most of these children have been born into a world where Maitreya is already emerging, which he has been doing since his advent to the modern world on July 19th, 1977. Many of these children have grown up in a world where Maitreya's energies are flowing. So how do you think that might correlate?
I certainly think there are more children who are high sensitive. And I also think because our environment has grown so busy, so noisy, etc., that people notice there are more high sensitive children, especially at schools.
Well, also, of course, so, with all the new... Go ahead, please.
No, that's okay. Tell me.
Okay. Well, of course, you know, the speed up of the means of communication as well. Being continually bombarded by internet, email, etc., this is definitely very new in this younger generation than it was, say, in people growing up in the 70s or the 80s even. So this is also an extra strain on the nervous system.
It is. It really is. And I think because the education at schools is using more and more screens, computers for their work, children may have some more trouble with that because it has more impact on their energy than it is as it formerly had in the classroom. I myself notice it too. I get very tired when I'm sitting in front of a computer or television too long.
Right. Well, not to mention the lack of mobility that we're finding is, you know, they're now talking about sitting being the big killer, whereas it used to be smoking, right?
So, yes,
Anna Mieke, we have very little time till we go to our first break. So can you tell us, you know, what kind of work you are doing with these children and even how it might tie in with Maitreya's teachings and priorities?
Most of the time, parents come to me with their children because at school they think they're trouble. They're trouble because they can't sit still, because they can't concentrate, because they can't learn very well, because they talk before they're asked to talk. And me, myself, I think it has something to do with the education system too. But most of the time, I help them just by passing through energy, which relaxes them and grounds them.
We are here today discussing this particular aspect of the effect of the energies of Maitreya, the world teacher now in the world. Now, just to explain very, very briefly, Maitreya is known, for example, in the West as the Christ for this particular age. And we have a very different understanding of the principle of the Christ in our show and in literature related to Share International, where you can find out more about this. We believe that the term Christ is not the name of a person, but an actual function in the evolution of world development, in the unfolding of the divine plan, so that Maitreya holds the post of Christ for this coming age, the age of Aquarius, which we'll talk more about a little later when we talk about education. But that in holding this post of Christ for this age, he literally pours out the energies of love, the energies of the Godhead into this planet. This is a particular mission that he is upholding. And when he has finished his term, he will move on to other work, and a new representative will take on that role. So it's a slightly different understanding of the term Christ, but the main thing to it is that he is the catalyst. He is the valve, as it were, for many, many forms of very, very potent cosmic energy, which can stream into the planet and have a beneficent effect on all those who live here in terms of bringing out and bringing forward the plan, the ultimate and the original divine plan for this planet. So these energies that Maitreya is streaming out daily have various effects in various ways. They help to break down old and constricting things, such as, for example, in the political world, the fall of the Berlin Wall had to do with the energies of Maitreya and the loosening of those effects. He is behind many of the great demonstrations going on now in terms of wanting to bring about sharing and justice, the Arab Spring being one of the most recent strings of that starting. But so these energies are having their influence in all fields, in the advancement of science, in the call for justice and sharing of the peoples of the world. Absolutely everywhere are these energies of these Christ energies having their effect. So nowhere, no less are they, is this effect than in how it is attaining the consciousness, the awareness of children, and having an influence there. So this is Annemiek's very particular field, and we're having her talk about how the energies of Maitreya are influencing the awareness of children. Annemiek, take it away.
Yeah. Well, what I've noticed is normally children are still the most close, I think, to their divine self. They have a kind of unconscious memory of how it was before they were born. And I think when we are in between lives, we are united with everything and everyone. And we feel the unity, we feel the love, and then we come here on Earth and we got a kind of problem because our society is not so loving anymore. And alas, a lot of systems are working with competition, competition at school, competition in work, competition from the first time you're born and you're bigger or you're going to walk earlier than another one. So it's not easy. Children may be so sensitive and so open and so full of love that they don't understand why people treat one another with hatred or with sarcasm. Or why they don't accept others just the way they are, because they can accept one another the way they are. And as I've noticed, children can get quite upset because of that, because they don't understand it. They think it's a natural. I think it's a natural. But yes, the world has become a world of competition and not of acceptance of everyone the way he is.
And yet, you know, you find that children are making their, left to their own devices, they are making their own way. From what I see, children today do tend to cooperate more. They tend to socialize better. Is that your experience?
It certainly is. And I'm glad to have noticed last week, I told you I have given a lot of lectures for children at primary schools for UNICEF, and they have introduced a kind of system that when someone has talked to the class for in the lessons, afterwards the children can give their comments, but they always have to do it so it's supporting. They can say, well, I thought you did this very well. Maybe you could change this a little bit. And it was the first time I heard it. And I was a bit surprised because I gave a lesson. And afterwards, the teacher asked, what did you think of her? Did she do it well? And I had a bit like formerly I had when I was a child. Oh, God, did I do it well? What did I do wrong? Because when I was a child, yeah, teachers were quite critic on children. And it can make you very insecure if you want to do your best. So it's nice that even in education, children are learned to watch one another, listen to one another, let them speak, and then quietly, at a respectful way, give a comment or give a compliment.
So their opinion is being respected. They're being valued as, you know, not just little people that have to grow up, but as thinking, feeling people.
Yeah, well, I don't think that always happens, but I think the children who have come to me in my practice, most of the time, one of the parents is high sensitive too. And I think high sensitive people are more aware of what relations should be about and how they should treat one another with respect. And I think it's very valuable. I once had a little boy, and he was a troubled child at school. This was what the teacher told the mother. And she came to me and she said, well, this is the problem. They think he's a problem. And what do you think? I think what I think is that the child was a mirror to the teacher. And the teacher was sensitive herself and insecure. And because the child being a mirror, she couldn't stand it. And she picked on the child. And that's not fair. But the mother was unconditionally supporting her child, going back to school, talking with the teacher, explaining how the child is, and then they changed teachers and nothing was the problem anymore. So I think these children, because the way how they are and how honest they are, how spontaneous they are, they may really form a mirror for adults. And not everyone likes that. And if they do, people tend to say that it's the child, which is a problem, not them.
Right. Let me just reframe for our listeners. There was a bit of a glitch on the line there. Annemiek was saying that such children often serve as a mirror for the adults in their lives. And not everybody is so open to the honest, remarks that the children may have. And I think that's very, very true in our world today.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking about how these children have an intuitive grasp on how one should be behaving, how people should behave with one another in this coming new age. What do you think the hallmarks of that are, Annemiek? What do they know that we don't know?
I think they really know that we're all connected and that we have to make our world a beautiful paradise together. And we mustn't exclude people, because everyone has the right to be here. Everyone has the right to make a beautiful life, to to have people who love them, to have an education which they like, to exploit their talents and be a valuable extra for the world. And, well, together, not just as individuals, not to be compared. Every child has his own value, and I think it's very important that it knows they are okay the way they are. And they do teach us that we are okay the way they are. And if we treat others not with that justice and love, they can really look at us, is my experience, and tell us, well, what did you say then? That wasn't very nice, was it? They know it has to be different. And the only way we can survive is by doing it together.
And of course, we see that many children today have a way of canalizing their aspiration. They are deeply, deeply concerned about the environment, for example, those that are, or you know, bringing betterment in one way or the next to the civilization. I think we can all remember when we had that kind of aspiration, and things have turned out so far the way they've turned out. But the young people today seem to have an extra, you know, determination about saving our planet. Now, the priorities of Maitreya for the world are very, very simple. They can be summarized in one sentence: share and save the world. His priorities are food, education, health care, and shelter for every single person on this planet, which is not, unfortunately, the case even in this very modern time, when it would be fully possible. Annemiek was telling me the other day that in these teachings that she has been doing with the UNICEF program with children, well, why don't you tell us about how they react to hunger in the world, Annemiek? I was very touched by what you said to me.
Yeah. Well, I have talked, I have given the lessons to the children, and I had videos with it, which show how poor some children still are. There are still millions of children starving every day in, for instance, Africa, because they don't have any food. And in UNICEF, they have a special bracelet, which is of paper, and you wrap it around the upper arm of a child, and you can see whether the color, when you wrap it tight, is green, yellow, or red. And if it's red, it's really a child that is starving, and if it's yellow, it's a sorrow. And I showed them how tiny the arm of a little child was, that was shown in the movie, and they really all said, oh, that's terrible, and they can't cope with it. It's incredible. They can't believe that we are making a world in which children still die, while there's a lot of food around us, and where there's a lot of food stored up here to rot and not share it. And we wouldn't even notice if we would share it, because there is enough for everyone. What they do, and which is very nice, they have a nice program at the moment at UNICEF. It's called Kid Power. And in these days, after the lessons I gave, they are moving a lot with a bracelet, which counts the steps and the movements they make. And sponsors, like companies in each country, change it into peanut butter for malnourished children. And the peanut butter really is for children that would otherwise die, and they need it for 6 weeks, three times a day. And when the children move a lot and earn 10 points, they have earned one package of peanut butter. So they're moving really like crazy. And not only in Holland, all over the world where the UNICEF program is working, because they've started it in the United States. And it's very nice. So now they know how healthy it is to move. They move for their own good, but they also know they are helping other children to stay alive and to get better, because they support us, UNICEF, to support the children.
Right, and just to put that in context, you were telling me that something like 40% of children in Holland were considered to be not active enough, not getting enough movement, not using their bodies to move through space enough. So this actually kills two birds with one stone.
Yes, it does.
And is a great problem in the rest of the world too. We are too sedentary. And that's a great melding of resources. That sounds like a very, very, very good plan. Let's get back to the fact that this is being done with school children. We want to talk about education now and how it could and might be in the new age. not only because of Maitreya's new principles, but because of the, you know, growing awareness and actually advanced awareness of these children, and also because of the new tools today for education. So lead us through that, will you, Annemieke? What is wrong with education today, and where does it need to go?
Education today is mostly learning facts, and mostly learning facts of the history. And it might be interesting, but, it's not what life is about and what education should be about. Education should be guidance and training and help to develop as a young soul, as a child, to your full potential. And so education has to go about preparation for life in a physical way, in an emotional way, of mental and even spiritual way. Because if you can't have the things you're interested in and you can't develop your talents, you're not of any value to the world and you won't be happy. And I noticed that a lot of young people, even teenagers, maybe most teenagers, they are so disappointed in education. They don't like school. They sit there all day and they're very glad it's over. They get disillusioned because they don't know what to do. They haven't had the education to prepare them for life. And it's not prepare for a job, it's prepare for life. What's life all about? What should we do in society? How should we get along with one another? That's important. How should we treat nature? What can we do in and with nature? And, about this.
Well, a very different... very different take on what seems to be education to, you know, be good little workers and good little consumers, which
yes.
is very much the old model. And I find that the young children, the children today, they're just not going to settle for that anymore.
No, they won't.
I think
and
the fact of
thing.
Being... when we were, I'm directing our listeners to a couple of the links on our Facebook page, Share on the Air Radio, about education with Benjamin Krem. And his central way of putting this, which I really like, is that children need to be recognized as the souls in development that they are. Soul, S-O-U-L. You know, divine, potentially divine representatives. And when we begin to treat children not as little consumer robots, but as the divine embodiment that they have come to be, everything changes.
And they will be much happier at school, too. I think if children are not interested in school, if they're sleeping a bit, dreaming a bit, come home and very tired, something is wrong with the way of education. It isn't compelling to their interest. It isn't compelling to their talents, their soul, the life. Children are naturally interested in life. Everything they see new is interesting. If they go outside in nature, they can see a lot of things, plants, animals, etc., and it may interest them. And it's very nice that they're already experiencing new ways of education, for instance, in Finland. They have already noticed that children have to move a lot. So they say every child has to move at least an hour a day. And the best outside in nature. Children in Finland go to school at most 3, maybe 4 hours a day, that's all. And for the rest, they just are playing. And that's very important because by playing, they get in contact with the natural things as nature, one another, maybe other people, maybe businesses, wherever they go. And when they meet something they are interested in, they are encouraged to look it up, maybe on the internet, maybe in books, and to learn more about it. And if you learn more about real life, it's much more interesting than learning facts of things that have passed 100 years ago or so. Formerly, when I was a child, I already thought, well, that is 100 years ago. I'm living now. What's the problem? It didn't interest me. And really. And learning ages. In that age, this and this was happened. And in that age, this and this was happened. In that year, this was happened. Oh, really? It went right. One ear in, other ear out. I couldn't really imagine that this would be important to grow up. So I still don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any years.
Well, you know, which brings us to the topic of the age of Aquarius now dawning, which some of our listeners may not be that familiar with. Of course, there's the famous rock opera about the age of Aquarius, but it's a lot more serious than that, that our planet as such, our planet as a living organism, as a living being, is rotating through the galactic skies and what have you, and comes into contact with a new set of energies every 2,000 of years or so in the rotation through the heavens, which is called the precession of the equinox. So we are now moving very, very rapidly into, quite literally, the age of Aquarius, which has very different energies from the previous age, the age of Pisces, that many of us were born into. And the quality is very, very different. There is a new set of energies impinging on the world from a new constellation. And even though this transition happens very slowly over the period of 400 years or so for the Earth, which is peanuts in terms of time, the effect of the age of energy, age of Aquarius, is growing stronger and stronger now. To the commercial that was just playing, there was a spot there about the Ageless Wisdom Teachings, which is a very, very interesting booklet that covers themes like the constitution of man, the nature of the soul, the divine plan for the earth, reincarnation, many, many very interesting topics that have been passed down by oral tradition since very ancient times, which is why these teachings are called the Ancient Wisdom Teachings. You can download this booklet free from the website share-international.org and find the concepts there, many of which have very much relevance to what we're talking about today. For example, according to the Ageless Wisdom Teachings and the teachings of Maitreya as the modern exponent of them, the age of Aquarius brings in a set of highly evolved souls that are specifically equipped to deal with the problems particular to that age and that varied influence of the cosmic energies. So this is what we're talking about now of the young people coming in today. In the two other things that I want to mention about that, one is the book by Benjamin Krem, chief editor of Share International magazine, called The Gathering of the Forces of Light. That book, in its part two, discusses education in the modern age and how to fit people to find their soul purpose and to become the the nascent gods that we are, that our divinity is our birthright, and we can plan, we can educate for that. In the magazine Share International, the Benjamin Krem's chief contact with this information, who is one of these emerging perfected masters on the planet, gave an article every single month since the inception of the magazine, well, 10 times a year, since the inception of the magazine in 1982. And these master's articles at the beginning of the magazine are a fount of knowledge, of inspiration, and of teaching. Many, many, many times the master's article has had to do with youth, and specifically with youth at the helm. Before we continue with Annemiek, I just want to give you one brief quote from an article specifically called Youth at the Helm in the April edition of 2012 by the Master. And I give you this short quote to begin. To a large extent today, the people's voice is the voice of the young. Governments and the media under their control largely ignore or vilify the voices and aspirations of the young. Yet it is the young who have the answers, who understand that humanity is one, who call for fairness, for justice and sharing, and an end to war. The voice of such young people can never be silenced and will not be for long ignored. The voice of the people, young and old, will drown the whimpers of the men of money and lead humanity to the new dawn. So will it be.
Bravo.
Very inspiring words, Annemiek, and
yes,
very much what
are.
We have been talking about in terms of how education could be and how to really honor and respect young people today. How can we as educators and parents... Hello?
I
have a question for you. How can we as parents and educators best nurture our children at this crucial time?
I think in every time, and especially in this time, we could best nurture our children by giving them a lot of love and patience and give them a lot of space to develop themselves in the way they want. Because if they feel accepted the way they are, and we give them the freedom to exploit their creativity and find the ways and the things they are most attracted to, I think we can lead them to fulfill their perspectives and to grow as much as they can in this life, in consciousness and in happiness.
Absolutely. And we find there is a remarkable number of very young people who are coming forward in the world today, not only as prodigies in music or things like that, but actually setting the tone for our social values and where we should be heading and how we should be tackling our problems. Would you like to say a word on that? I think you were telling me about this little Dutch boy, right?
Yes, there was a Dutch boy, 19 years old. In 2013, he invented a thing at university, and it was probably his second year. He invented something with which he could clear the oceans of more than 7 million tons of plastic. And so in one way, he was very concerned about the oceans, about the earth. That's quite an Aquarius thing I think. He is really aware that we only have one world and we have to take good care of it. But he was also, as clever as he is, the first one who could invent a thing, and they are already developing it. I think they're already using it, if I'm not wrong, to clear the oceans of all the plastic we put in it or has been thrown in it. And
right.
I know that in every age, the children are born who can solve the problems they have to solve in this time. And this is a very beautiful example of it.
And of course, there are many more. I find it quite interesting that, for example, there's another story of I believe this is a Canadian boy, who actually, by computer modeling, found an archaeological site that would shed light on very ancient civilizations. He looked at the constellations of the sky and knew that, for example, Machu Picchu lined up with this and another dig lined up with that, and then predicted that there would be a massive proof of ancient civilization in another place. And sure enough, to the astonishment of the elder scientists, this turned out to be correct. We've all heard, of course, of many of the environmental advocates that are, you know, basically just in their teens, the political advocates, the women's rights children working, and just so much going on now to bring forward the new direction. And these children are fearless. They know what is right, and they are making that known. I think that's pretty much your experience as well, isn't it not?
It is. It certainly is. And maybe a beautiful example is my daughter, if I may mention it. She's 24
years old. I was
going to
say, tell us about your daughter's program.
Yeah. I think she's a beautiful example of a new age girl. And she's always been very compassionate. But she's now living in London for 3.5 years. And she's made a program there. It's called The Uncomfortable Truth. And she's organizing a podium, providing a podium for people who are living in London and are feeling as a minority. And that may be because they're different as most people in sexual opzicht. What's the word? They may be sexually different. Maybe they may have psychological problems. And they find that people don't understand them. So she made... She organizes a podium. They can talk about it. A lot of people are attracted to it because apparently it appeals to what people need. They want to hear about people who are different. They want to understand them. They want to help them. And it's a beautiful thing. And I think it's very special.
She's using modern technologies to let people have their voice.
Yes, true. But she's also giving a real podium. So she organizes a space in London and people can come there and they can listen and talk with one another. And in fact, she's making it a kind of helping program for those people to make them feel more comfortable in London and to get along with people who are different. And I think that's a beautiful thing. She's bringing people together, as everyone should do, and not criticizing them, not judging them, just loving them the way they are.
Very good, very good. Just before we go to close, we won't get time to go in too much to some of the content of Mr. Krem's book that I mentioned, The Gathering of the Forces of Light, but just as a teaser for you, for listeners to go and look up this material, there's very much on the importance of creativity in education, for example, and how competition is alienating youth, how they need self-esteem and a sense of accomplishment so that they don't turn to drugs and depression. And how very much people live by example to teach our children who are mirroring and teaching us. Annemiek, thank you very much. This has been a very inspiring program. And for
thank you
our
very
young
much,
people.
Today,
and here is a trailer of an award-winning documentary about miracles that are still healing people all over the world.
Crosses of Light. And although this clip documents healing in a Christian community, the crosses and healings from them have been happening across the globe to communities of Buddhists, Muslims, and to atheists as well. In Francis Oman's Miracle Healings, Crosses of Light.
When we found Bea Medina, she told us that even her doctor said it was a miracle. She was the first person to be healed in the presence of the first cross.
At work, they have this mobile, and they do cancer screens. And they found that I had a lump. So I went to the surgeon. He says he wanted to have an ultrasound on my breast. So we went and had an ultrasound, and when the report went to the doctor, it was nothing there. So all this time, this happened before the cross, and after the cross, my lump disappeared. So I give thanks to God.
When we gather in prayer, we truly believe in his words. He says, when two or three gather in my name, I am there. And we feel his presence, and all the miracles come from him. Not from any human, but from him, from Jesus himself. Because he created us. The Bible says that he weave our bodies in the womb of our mothers. So if he created us and created our organs, he can surely create them again. And that's exactly what is happening. When we pray and people get healed, it's because we ask Jesus to create a new organ again. That happened to me. He gave me a new womb, a perfect one. And this is the proof. We have this beautiful baby. And it's the same thing with other people that have come with problems, physical problems.
People come to pray. Most of the people that have come to see the cross, they come with a need, usually a physical healing that they ask God for. Sometimes they also have moral wounds, I would say. And the people that are here praying right now, they are praying for a healing for this little girl. Lord Jesus, help. God had made many miracles happen through prayer and through this cross. I truly believe that it is through this cross too, because when we pray, the light of the cross gets brighter. And again, I remember the scripture that says, our light is from your light. And miracles do happen.
Visit us on Facebook at hashtag Planetary Makeover. This show has been a production of planetarymakeover.org. At our website, we have a link to our bi-weekly live show at 5 p.m. Mondays Pacific Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. At our website, we also have a link to our archives and a selection of our shows. For more background info, visit www.shareinternationalwest.org. That's shareinternational-west.org. For related books and DVDs and CDs by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of Maitreya, the world teacher, please go to share-ecart.com. That's share-ecart.com. We also invite you to watch another show that we really love entitled, What in the World is Happening? And that show, which you don't want to miss, is produced by Share International Canada.
Please view episodes of What in the World is Happening on demand at youtube.com/@messageofhopeweekly. It will be live streaming mostly on the second Saturday of every month at the Share International Canada Facebook page.